up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back in the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. Is there some scientific theorem that says Patrick Warburton has to steal every single movie he's in?
Every single movie he's in. Every single one.
Close. Yes. And last but certainly not least, we've got Steve. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Well, squeak, squeak and squeak, squeakity.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. No, you need to go a little further away. Okay. Yes. Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got a fun show coming up next week. And then you're not going to want to miss some of the shows we got coming up in season 6 starting in January.
Wow.
Yeah. This is show 240. This will be our 205th thing we have reviewed.
That's crazy.
Wow. We have more seasons than Stranger Things.
And yeah, take that, 11.
Than Stranger Things. Well, if you have not already been able to tell, this week we watched Emperor's New Groove. This is the 25th anniversary. It came out in December of 2000. And picture it. Sicily, 1930. No, sorry. Anaheim. Sorry, Hollywood, 1994. Okay. Lion King has just come out, and you're the director of The Lion King. They call you and say, what do you want to do next? Because, you know, you just had the highest grossing Disney movie ever. And he says, I want to do a adaptation of The Prince and the Pauper by Charles Dickens with love interest both directions. And I want it to be a musical with Sting as the thing. Because, you know, work with Elton John. Okay, no, you're laughing. That's what this movie was originally supposed to be.
Excellent.
Sting wrote like 8 songs for this movie.
Yeah, and the only one that they kept was the first one. And not even sung by him. They said they need someone younger, so they went and got someone older. Anyway.
No, he sings at the end.
Oh, he does, like, over the credits, yeah.
Over the credits, yeah.
Yeah. So then this movie goes along and that movie's developed and it gets to the test screenings and it bombs huge in 1996, 97. This movie is basically dead. They are given 2 weeks to come up with something new or the movie will be shut down completely. So they decide to come up with this plot line and story, which imagine if you have the prince from Beauty and the Beast, instead he gets turned into a llama and he falls in love with Sully. That's this movie.
Yep.
And Catwoman comes and tells him that he can't go. And no one says nice work, pal, because no one does nice work. So this movie was then brought back from the dead and it was made in 1 year.
Wow.
From total green light, because they had to bring it out in 2000 because they had already put in all of the Coca-Cola and McDonald's and all of their marketing stuff had said, we have to have this movie come out in the year 2000. So this is what we got. Probably the closest thing to a full-length Warner Brothers cartoon that Disney has ever put out.
I would agree with that.
They said, basically took this movie and said, what would happen if Chuck Jones had a part in it? So that's the movie we have. What about this movie pulled the right lever? What worked?
Well, wait, what? Hold on. Because when you say Warner Brothers cartoon, are we taking Who Framed Roger Rabbit out of it? Because wasn't
no,
that
no,
kind
no,
of...
No, 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 no. Yeah, yeah, no, no. I'm not counting that. It is, think this is a Roadrunner Coyote cartoon or a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Right. Got it.
Disney made, essentially, full length.
Yeah.
It's with the jokes and the humor.
Yeah, it's Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig against the coyote and,
yes.
And the black. Yeah. And I thought he was great in this. I never liked him when he played for the Patriots, but you still don't like him on Fox, but he was great in 2000. So what pulled the right lever? What about this really worked? Kate, I'll start with you on this one.
This movie, so I was a little bit nervous because it has been a minute since I've seen it. And when I saw, when I was loading it and I saw it was in the year 2000, I was like, it was that long ago? Like that, it does not seem, and this movie holds up. Like, yeah, there are a couple parts where I was like, okay, the misogyny about it. But Cusco, the only person who could have possibly done as well as David Spade as Cusco is Neil Patrick Harris. I think a Neil Patrick Harris Cusco could have also been very funny.
That is a huge statement, Kate.
Huh?
That is a huge statement.
I because I had to like go check because I was like, I don't think this is Neil Patrick Harris, but it sounds like him.
Anyway,
so God, this movie's great. It's just, it's funny. It's got so many quotable moments, like little quotable moments. I was watching this in my living room when my husband came home from work. And he was like, are you watching The Emperor's New Groove? And I said, yeah. And he just starts quoting just random quotes out this movie. And then he starts quoting along with it. It was really funny. But the way it almost like you said Warner Brothers. I almost like took it almost like a Shrek, where like Shrek was always really good with parents and kids. I think it's the same type of thing for this movie. Now, there's not as many like innuendos as there are in Shrek type stuff, but this movie is enjoyable no matter what age you are. Question for the group. Do I love John Goodman because he voiced my childhood? Or like, does he just have a voice that just makes you trust him? Serious question for everyone.
He has that low, deep voice that is rather soothing.
Oh, yeah. God. He's just
like our host.
Derek is our pacha. It was just so well done. Eartha Kitt is her rendition of Yzma and then matching Eartha Kitt with Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Just the polar opposites. I mean, I could talk a lot on this movie, and I know we went really deep on our last episode, and I liked that. This movie, it wasn't too long. It was the perfect length, in my opinion. I didn't get bored with it. It's funny. I laughed out loud several times. It's just really good. I could keep going, but I'll pass it off to Pete.
Yeah, maybe I don't love this as much as you did, but like, I texted everybody after I saw it. It's like, is this the zaniest Disney movie? Because
not counting Aladdin. You can't count Aladdin on that.
Well, I would say like the genie is, but the movie overall, like there's always silly stuff. The best Disney movies have some silly stuff, but this movie is all silly stuff. Pretty much. There's very few moments of, you know, of seriousness. There's a little bit in there, but it's basically, and that's what they kind of did, is they pulled out all the serious parts of the movie. They pretty much threw out any historical accuracy or any, seriousness in favor of a very funny, a very entertaining movie. It's a very entertaining movie. And I'll agree with Kate to say, like, It's a tight 120 too, hour 20. So there's not a lot of fat to it. And is this the only Disney movie in which there's a pregnant character?
And it was the first one where the mother and father were together, none of them died, and neither of them were vilified.
Ooh, love that.
Oh, yeah. So.
Go ahead, Steve.
Not much more to add. I think, like Derek said, it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon of just one quotable line, sight gag after another, rapid fire. Eczema, or whatever, seeing your name, and Kronk, probably one of my two favorite characters.
Yzma.
Right? Just like sort of that, like, you are a villain, but you don't know what you're doing. Like, yes, you're bad at what you do. Yes. I also said, we always said, Disney needs to do a roller coaster based on this ride.
Yeah.
You have the boat into the car, into the movie.
Yes.
So, yes. Very enjoyable.
Very enjoyable, maybe a little strong. I will say, I will agree. This is one of the first movies in a while I have not said is too long. This was 78 minutes. This is what an animated movie should be. This is that 80 minute mark is the sweet spot for most Disney movies, to be perfectly honest. I enjoyed for the most part most of the humor in it. I liked some of the breaking the fourth wall looks that some of the characters gave. One of the more clever ones was when they were in the restaurant and he reads them the order, and then he comes back in the diner chef speak.
Yeah, yes.
So good.
I enjoyed that. There were moments in this that made me chuckle. I would say, definitely say that the last 10 to 15 minutes is definitely the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely the best part of the movie, about when they get back to, like, when they're chasing them back to the castle, and then when they get back to the castle or palace or whatever, mm-hmm. is probably the best part of this movie. Mm-hmm. It's the funniest. It's the most rapid fire, I think. I do know there was one joke that the director and writers absolutely hated, but it was insisted that they put it in. It's they're looking at the poisons, lions, tigers, bears. Oh my. The director hated that joke that they threw in there. But so if that pulled the right lever.
Can I add one thing real quick? Absolutely. Sorry. So sorry.
No.
That I really liked, that I was gonna see if anyone else mentioned, but they didn't. Number one, it wasn't about a love interest. It was about a friendship. And I liked that. And number two, they got right into the plot. There wasn't like 30 minutes of...
Yeah, because it wasn't Marvel.
True. Like, it got right into Kuzco becoming
Most of the animated good Disney movies do.
Yeah, I just appreciated that a lot. But I loved that, yeah, the two parents, I didn't even think about that, Derek, the two parents being married and not being vilified. And it wasn't a love movie. It was a friendship movie. It just, excellent. Continue.
Pixar-y.
It was, just the
friendship movie, because Pixar is on friendship movies.
Definitely. Okay. If that's what pulled the right lever, what should have been given the poison? The movie's poison. The poison for the movie. Steve, I'll let Kate, I'm actually gonna let you start this.
No, I don't want to start this one.
Okay, then you may not have anything left after I go.
That's fine, because I don't have anything.
Go ahead, Steve.
The story's weak. I mean, it's really about just the sight gags and the one-liners. I mean, the story is just incredibly weak, like very predictable. You know where it was gonna go, but I can forgive that for all the humor. I mean.
Yes. I can't. The story was weak. The opening song felt like a Walmart Kroger knockoff Hercules opening. I mean, it felt directly like the opening Hercules song that they were trying to do.
Once you've seen the whole movie, it's weird that there's an opening song.
Yes.
Because it's the only song.
And I actually would have wanted, if you're going to open with a song, you better have a couple more songs in there.
Right. That's what's weird about it is like, all right, here, you know, here's a typical Disney opening and then nope, no more of those.
Yeah. I thought it went for, it felt like, remember, I said it was a Warner Brothers cartoon, but remember the Warner's cartoons from like 1983, 1986, where Bugs doesn't look quite right and the jokes don't quite hit. That's the Warner Brothers I'm talking about for this. This is not Duck Season, Rabbit Season, Warner Brothers. And it, I wanted, if you're going to have that shallow of a story, I better laugh a lot more. I just, the jokes, again, I have never seen this movie before I watched it 2 days ago. So I have no nostalgia about it. I have no fan, you know, cult classic feelings towards it. Watching it the first time, it was fine. It's not a great movie. So, and Kate, I'm sorry to burst your bubble on that one, but
that's okay. I liked it. I liked it. I don't have a lot. Yeah, I agree with Steve that the storyline is sparse, but I think if they had, I don't know what they could have added in.
I would have rather seen the Prince and the Pauper movie.
Oh, I think for what this is, it's a great movie. I don't think
1 year place filler for advertising dollars. Sure.
No, I think it's meant to be a funny movie. Like, it's not meant to be like deeply impactful and thoughtful and moving. I think it's supposed to just make us laugh. And it did that.
Okay.
So
up the funny. That's what I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more one-liners and more side gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes along with Derek. Not much depth of character for anybody. And particularly, yes, David Spade was good playing David Spade, essentially.
Yes. If you like David Spade.
If you like David Spade, depending on your tolerance for David Spade, yeah. I have to say, I don't have a high tolerance for him, but I don't mind him in this. But I have a problem with his character in that he is an unrepentant jerk for 75 minutes of the movie. And then all of a sudden he's
in the last minute, he changes
slightly. He's slightly less of a jerk. And, I just felt like, you know, you always complain about movies being too long. This movie was almost to me that transition from when he decided to treat Pasha nicely after this guy is ridiculous. Like he saves him like 10 times, right?
Yeah.
Keeps coming back. So then he's finally like, at least like, tolerant of him, and then they like rush that ending of because they spend, as I said, like an hour of the movie tromping through the forest, and then all of a sudden it's like, let's get back, and then it gets really Warner Brothers-y.
Yeah.
And then it's over and it's like, all right, I'll let you keep your thing. And I guess I want better from a Disney movie.
I would agree with that. I'd buy that.
You know, I don't think it makes this a bad movie. I'm not saying this is a bad movie. I think it's very good, but it's very, there's not a lot of there. How's that?
There. And the villain did not die.
No.
The villain did not die.
No, she, cat, but you know,
she, we thought she fell to her death for a little bit, but
yes, but then yes.
Yeah,
I do admit there's certain things in that movie that like who came up like at that ending there where the guy's like, I didn't order a trampoline, and you look and the guy's got a cart with like 10 trampolines on it.
It's like, genius. It's just so funny.
Oh, genius. I was going to say it was a bad night at the bar where they're going, Okay, we need more jokes. Kat says we need more jokes. Let's do a trampoline joke.
What? No.
The group that they actually traveled to Machu Picchu for this to do research.
Okay. So I'm going to give another negative. They made a documentary about this, the making of this movie called The Sweatbox. And it goes into the changes. It's actually directed by Trudy Styler, who is Sting's wife.
Or was at least at the time.
Yeah. Well, no, they're still together, but I don't think they were married yet at the time. Yeah. It is, Disney buried it.
Yes.
And you can find it. It's broken up on YouTube. Do a search for it. I found where you can find the whole thing if you want to watch it. It wasn't that hard. It's a very good documentary. I watched like the first 20 minutes of it because it's very interesting to see, as you said, all the work that went into it, and you know, traveling to Peru and like, you know, getting llamas to try to make the llama look realistic and everything. And then of course it turned into Warner Brothers cartoon. And you know, so that documentary kind of documents that, and that's why Disney buried it. So my negative is Disney buried that documentary.
That's fair.
Whew.
Hey guys, any other thoughts, comments about Emperor's New Groove? I find it amusing that they did the whole Emperor's New Groove with the tie to Emperor's New Clothes there with the title, and it has nothing to do with the story.
Right.
Oh, it has to do with there's that one line of he stepped on my groove or something like that.
Yes.
The title's weird. But then again, you know, that was about the point where Disney wasn't wanting to do like hit over your head titles.
It's probably better than Kingdom of the Sun, which was the original
title. It's true. That was the original title.
Jeez. I'm so glad that movie didn't get made.
Again, this was basically seen as being up against Prince of Egypt from DreamWorks.
Okay.
Which is also a good movie, by the way.
I've never seen it. But you
the
can
music in it is very good.
The main characters kind of look similar.
It's very serious.
Yes, it's very, very serious.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Moses doesn't have a lot of laughs in his life.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. Well, as we always do, cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Emperor's New Groove, Kate.
I'm going to give it a 4. I would go watch this movie again. If it was on, I would see where it was. And we quote it. And my husband apparently can really, really quote it. So I give it a 4.
you're like the exact right age kind of for this movie. So,
yeah,
I'm going to give it a 3. I do enjoy it. It's not something I would go back to a lot, but it is something I don't mind watching. So it right about hits that 3 for me. Steve?
I'm at a 3. Like if it was on TV, I'd probably stop and watch it for a little while, depending on where it was. It was enjoyable. It made me laugh.
Okay. And I'm going to go a 2.5. It's, again, for me, I'm probably not going to go back and see this again, but I didn't mind watching most of it. I sat there and watched it all in one sitting, which based on some of the stuff we've had previously, I don't remember the last time I sat and watched one of our movies, brand new movies I'd never seen, in one sitting, just because so many of them have been so bad. But
you could have watched this 2.5 times instead of watching Avatar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, decent movie. You know, it didn't do all that great at the box office.
No.
Cost $100 million because, you know, it was made like 4 times. Made 160, which back then, based off what Disney was coming off of in the 90s, not a great
movie.
That
wasn't good, no.
I honestly think this is one of the first ones. There had been a stretch there where I had seen every Disney premiere on opening night. I think this may have been one of the first ones I did not. So,
yeah, we at the time, it was before our daughter was born, and we at the time were seeing a lot of, I remember seeing, like, wasn't Tarzan the year before this? I think Tarzan was 99, right?
I think so.
Good question.
So, I remember seeing Tarzan in the theaters.
Yes, Tarzan was 99.
I did not see this movie till maybe 8 years ago. So, our daughter likes this movie, so not surprising. I think this is a really good, it's a good movie for kids and teens.
Yeah,
say, very quotable. There's a lot of like funny sight gags, funny verbal gags and things. So
yeah, like yeah. They literally fall into a plot hole. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We just have one thing for the Disney Plus news. Go, go, Power Rangers in their series reboot, which is coming to Disney Plus. The developers are the same people who have done the recent Percy Jackson series.
And there has been confirmation from them that this is happening.
I'm not mad about it. I hope that it's going to be good.
Did you watch Power Rangers growing up? Okay, see, I was a little old for Power Rangers growing up.
I was a lot old.
You were a lot old for Power Rangers growing up.
Yeah.
I do wish I could have seen them when they were at MGM Studios, though, but I didn't get to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. You could have been the pink one. Sure. Anyway. Okay. Next week is our annual Christmas show, and we are jumping in onto the advantage of Fox being part of the Disney bubble now. We're going to do the original Home Alone. And I'm going to say, please, at least the three of you, actually try and sit and watch it this week. I want you to sit and watch it and see if every minute of it is really as good as you remember. I guess it's
haunting. We watch it every year.
Challenge everyone, watch it for flaws. What are the flaws?
That's fair.
There may be a little trivia next week. We'll see.
Ooh.
Ooh. Maybe.
Ooh. So,
but as I said, that's going to be our Christmas show. That's going to be the end of our season. But we've got season 6 coming up in January. And there's not much coming out after first part of January, like at all, because nothing came out in the theaters this fall. Yeah. So. If you have suggestions, please shoot us an email, plusfortuna@gmail.com. Message us YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.